It's not one thing, it's another, isn't it? When it comes to the affordability crisis, and we're talking about taxes, particularly the fuel tax and the carbon tax, which are both set to go up on April 1st. And it's become a pretty potent political rallying cry at the federal level for the carbon levy. You've heard this. Axe the tax. It rolls right off the tongue. But we are getting an increase at the provincial level as well, as it's going to roll back up to 13 cents. So we need a slogan for that, don't we? Ditch the dues. Chop the charge. Lose the levy? Okay. Sloganeering is not my strong suit, but politics aside, reality is, forget the spin, what does it actually mean for the bottom line for both the government and you? To talk about that, Marshall Lander, economist with Concordia University. We just lost him. So we are going to attempt to get him back here momentarily. Just a little bug in the system. But as we mentioned, of course, this is an interesting conundrum that we have here because, there's been a lot of heat from the provincial government towards the feds, saying that the carbon tax is adding to the affordability crisis. And, that comes at the same time that we've got Danielle Smith saying that, well, you know what, we have to bring back the tax. We have to bring back our provincial fuel tax because, well, I made another promise.
And my number one commitment to Albertans was that we would run a balanced budget. So keep in mind, our fuel tax brings in about $1.2 billion in a year. And our surplus projected right now, if oil prices average 74 throughout the year, our surplus will only be $367 million. So my finance minister had to make the judgment that we'll keep the program as it is, which determines what the...
So to talk about that, Marshall Lander is officially on the line. We have him back on the airwaves. Thanks for joining us today.
I thought I was embargoed for what I was about to say.
Well, hey, you know what? On AM radio, there is nothing that you could possibly say that would ever get you in trouble. Let's talk about the provincial side of things, because this is a new one. We knew that the April tax was coming on the carbon tax. We knew that increase was coming. This one, we kind of knew it was coming, but we still needed to hear from the finance minister to confirm, in fact, that April 1st, that 9 cents tax that we've been paying since January was going to roll back up to 13 cents with the price of oil under $80. What do you make of this? Because there are folks who say that it looks like hypocrisy. There are other folks that say, well, and you know, you heard the premier right there, it's really just good governance in terms of balancing the books.
It is good governance. It is needed to balance the books. It was clear that this thing would come back if the oil price remained below the necessary threshold. I didn't like that she threw her finance minister under the bus and made it sound like it was somehow his decision, and she's just passively going along with it, saying, well, I guess we have to do this. This is ultimately her decision. And so I'd have liked to have seen a little more ownership coming from the premier herself, saying, no, this is what we're going to do. And it's not that he told me, it's that I told him.
It's a little finger pointing in politics. Gasp! Does it make sense, though? Because, I mean, it's not viable, according to her, it's not viable to keep this tax holiday on the books going forward, considering the price of oil. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's completely fair. I mean, we could even have a debate as to whether it was necessary in the first place to bring it down to 9 cents. I think that as Albertans, we're kind of convinced that it's our resource, the resource belongs to us. It's really just an accident of geography that we happen to be standing on such a huge and valuable resource. But it's not like we did anything to put it there, although we're doing something to extract it. So whenever the price of oil goes up, it's a way of trying to explain to the voters that, well, because it's our resource, why should we be paying a tax on something that belongs to us? But the reality is that there should be a tax on this particular product because it is contributing to global warming, and the full cost of extraction is more than just what it takes to pull it out of the ground or what it takes to refine it. It's also all of the downwind, downstream costs that are being put on society, and that's in theory what the tax is meant to represent. That shouldn't go up or down depending on the price of a barrel of oil or how affordable it is or isn't for Albertans.
Mm. Of course, this also presents a bit of a double-edged sword for the government, because we saw the inflation numbers earlier this week. National level was 2.8%. Here in Alberta, we had the highest at 4.2%. And from my understanding of things, this gas tax holiday and some of the rebates that were doled out last year to help ease the affordability crisis for Albertans, turns out that that actually delivered the government the bad headline, that it was part of the to contribute to that.
Yeah, and that's just the fickle nature of how inflation is calculated more than it is like bad government policy, right? So if you give a rebate in January of 2023, and that rebate only lasts for 12 months, then when the rebate disappears and things go back to normal, it looks like in January of 2024, there's a big jump in prices. It's not really just a jump in prices, it's just that the policy ended, right? So it has to come off the books at some point. And so there's going to have to be that blip back at some point. This is just the blip. And so, all right, going forward, Alberta should fall much closer in line with the rest of Canada in terms of inflation. And while every province might be slightly different than the average, Alberta is just as likely to be above average as it is below average.
Yeah. And of course, when we talk about inflation in this country, I know a lot of folks out there in Ched Nation will point to the carbon tax and say that it is the key culprit to the rise in prices that we've seen from grocery stores to gas prices, et cetera, et cetera. And we know on April 1st, from a fuel perspective, it's going to go from 14 cents to 17 cents per liter. But realistically, how much of a difference is that, not at the pump, but everywhere else, how much of a difference is that 3 cents going to make? Is it actually going to turn things around on the inflation, because we've been dropping? Is it going to turn things around and send inflation soaring back up?
No. Although I know that there are certain political leaders out there that will tell you that this is the key culprit. But remember that prior to this particular increase in the tax, what was seen as the big culprit? It was the high interest rates, or it was the high mortgage reset costs, and now we're going to say that this is it. Like, it's a convenient scapegoat. But here, too, the reality is that the purpose of the carbon tax is to properly price carbon. And so it's not being priced properly at the point of extraction. So when you're extracting non-renewable resources out of the ground, there is this carbon side effect that's not being priced in. Why would firms consider the cost of carbon when it's really not falling on them? And why would consumers think about it when all they care about is just buying the product and not considering the environmental side effects? So the purpose of the tax is to get everybody to think about it at the time that they produce and consume. But as the government will repeatedly say, just not very effectively, you get a lot of that money back, right? So the average household actually gets back more than what they pay. So it's merely an idea of, we're not trying to profit from this tax. We're merely getting you to think about the consequences of your decisions. And then all we're doing is we're giving you a lump sum rebate back so that it's not actually imposing a fiscal cost, just a thought at the time that you fill up your tank or at the time that you do something that has a carbon side effect.
Well, to that end, talking about the rebate, we had Premier Danielle Smith ask that question this morning, and she was adamant that we are not, as the average Canadian is not getting as much money back as they pay in the carbon tax. What do we know about the numbers on that?
Yeah, she would be wrong. So the fact is that the tax is essentially revenue neutral. That means that the government is not profiting from the tax. So that means then that all of the money that's coming in from the tax is going about out in the other direction. So the issue then is, if it's not giving a net neutral to the average person, then you've got to be telling me then who's profiting from this. Presumably, it would be people that are in the lowest income brackets that are getting the biggest amount of carbon refund and are least likely to be using the system because, say, they're using public transport. High-income people that are using gas-guzzling SUVs that don't use public transport, that are already in high tax brackets, they're probably not getting back their full share. But in a progressive society, you would say that's appropriate anyway. So if we're looking at the average person in that middle area, they should be getting, if not at least what they're paying, they're probably getting a little bit more.
Well, certainly I'll be keeping a keen eye on my bank account April 1st to see what kind of rebate I'm getting on that front, because we know that Alberta, according to the Prime Minister, we get the highest, the biggest checks cut on this refund. Masha, thank you so much for taking the time today to break down what I suspect most people will think is not a laughing matter come April 1st.
Anytime.